Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. Now when the human one comes in his majesty, and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you?" Then he will answer, "I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous ones will go into eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we have proclaimed and sung today in worship, today is Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. This is a feast day that was officially authorized in the 1920s to acknowledge the reign of Christ over all of heaven and earth. Christians and all kinds of churches around the world will be celebrating the lordship of Christ this day. And today is also the last day in the liturgical or church calendar year. Next Sunday, we start the season of Advent, the start of a new year in the liturgical calendar. The church year starts with Advent, starts with the season of waiting for the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And the church calendar ends with Christ the King Sunday, when we acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ, our eternal King, Lord of heaven and earth, King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, the one whose reign has no end. And I think for some of us, particularly Americans, particularly those of us living in this time period, I think some of us have a hard time connecting with Jesus Christ as King or Lord. We hear king and we revert back to what we remember of the Boston Tea Party and the Revolutionary War, when people in this country revolted against a monarch and a monarch form of governance. We don't have people here who use titles of Lord. I think Americans, and you see this if you travel outside of the United States of America, if you travel in Europe and other places, you see Americans have an independence streak. We can be stubborn. We reject submission. Oftentimes we are a little more informal. We're a little more casual in our relations with each other and in how we relate to one another. As we study history, we learn about all kinds of monarchs. Some were good and some were bad. Some kings did great harm throughout history. And we certainly don't want to repeat those harms. The idea of a king or a lord may feel antiquated to us today. It doesn't connect. And yet Christians for almost 2,000 years have affirmed their belief in the authority of Jesus Christ. We said it today when we repeated the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, right? Yeah, I'm seeing some nods. Good. In fact, the phrase Jesus Christ is Lord is the earliest profession of the Christian faith. This short statement seems simple, and yet it is profound. Paul refers to Jesus as Lord in multiple letters of the New Testament. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, we hear, therefore God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, might bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Theologian Dr. Luke Timothy Johnson instructs that Lord is the same name and designation for God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. To say that Jesus Christ is Lord is to connect the person of Jesus with God the creator. In the Old Testament, if you're reading books in the Old Testament, or if you're reading the Psalms, have you ever noticed sometimes it refers to the Lord, and the Lord is in all caps, and sometimes it's in tinier print? Have you noticed that in your Bibles? Well, that was a way for people, Jewish folks, people who spoke Hebrew, that was the word for Adonai, which is Lord or King. It was a way to refer to God, the Creator, without using Yahweh or God's proper name. You see, God's name was holy and righteous, and the people, they didn't want to just use it casually or use God's name in vain. And so Adonai, the Lord, was a way to refer to God in a way that kind of still preserved God's holiness. And so when Paul and others, or those early Christ followers, started referring to Jesus Christ as Lord, they were saying Jesus Christ is Adonai. Jesus Christ is God. And this was a disruption in the Jewish tradition and the Jewish way of understanding their faith. The phrase Jesus Christ is Lord was also a disruption for those who were Gentile, living in the Roman Empire. You see that when you lived in the Roman Empire, Caesar was Lord. Caesar was Lord of the land, as well as also a divine ruler. And so for people to claim that somebody else was Lord was sort of disruptive, perhaps even anarchist, if you will, to go against Caesar, to go against the power structure of that day. To claim faith in Jesus Christ as Lord means that no other earthly ruler or political structure was greater than Jesus. Reverend Canon Richard Burridge says that if Jesus is Lord at all, then Jesus must be Lord of all. Jesus' authority overcomes all earthly divisions people create. The lordship of Jesus connects people who would otherwise be divided. or separated. Jesus' authority overcomes the power of sin and death. Jesus Christ is Lord of life, life here on earth and life eternal. Jesus Christ is Lord here on earth, but also Lord of the cosmos, all creation. It was risky and countercultural to say that Jesus Christ is Lord for those early Jesus followers. And if we're honest, it is still risky and countercultural to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then Jesus is greater than any country, system of government, political party, ideology, or politician. The ones we don't like, and even the ones we like. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then Jesus is greater than our jobs, our money, our 401k, our social media accounts, our property, our possessions, our status. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then Jesus is greater than any of the problems in our world today. War in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, climate change, homelessness, hunger, poverty, gun violence. None of these are too big for Jesus. And yet, if we're honest, we can sometimes get a little mad. Because if those things aren't too big for Jesus, then why do we still deal with them? Right? If Jesus could just snap his finger and poverty be eliminated, why hasn't that happened yet? And so sometimes we can struggle and wrestle with this claim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because if we take it seriously, it also causes us to wrestle with what is going on around us. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then I am not the ultimate authority in my life, and you are not the ultimate authority of your life. To say that Jesus Christ is Lord means that the person and the work of Jesus guides all aspects of our lives. And so if we're going to sing or say that Jesus Christ is Lord, then what kind of king, what kind of Lord is Jesus? Well, we can look to the Bible, to Scripture, to see who Jesus is. And we can live into the liturgical year. So next week, we are starting the season of what? Advent. Yes. See, you're awake and paying attention. Starting the season of Advent, which is a season of waiting. And we're waiting for Christmas. When, what happens at Christmas? Jesus is born. And is Jesus born in a fancy hospital with lots of nurses and doctors and people to take care of Jesus and Mary and to give them all sorts of delicious food and to wait on them hand and foot? No. Jesus Christ is born to a poor couple living in a backwoods part of the world, born in a manger, and first visited by some of the outcasts and nobodies of society. Throughout Jesus' life and ministry, who does Jesus relate to? Does Jesus relate well with the politicians and the religious leaders? Is he besties with them? No. Jesus spends his time with fishermen and laborers, sinners, people like you and me. Our scripture passage from Matthew 25 offers us several descriptions of Jesus as Lord or King. Jesus, the King, is majestic and enthroned above all the nations. And yet Jesus is also a shepherd who knows the sheep. Who knows the sheep by name, who knows what the sheep do, who is with the sheep. And in this passage from Matthew 25, we also hear that Jesus is one who identifies with the marginalized and the vulnerable. Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." The Lord of heaven and earth became human, flesh and blood, became hungry and thirsty, naked and sick. The Lord of heaven and earth was estranged and vulnerable, sick, and even imprisoned. And the Lord of heaven and earth is still found in the marginalized and the vulnerable today. And when people ask Jesus, "Well, when was it that we saw you? When was it that we fed you? When was it that we gave you something to drink? When was it that we took care of you?" Jesus said, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." So how we treat each other, how we love each other, how we care for each other, especially the vulnerable, is also how we treat Jesus. Jesus is a different kind of king. Jesus is not haughty or so far removed and out of touch with the lives of people. Jesus is a king who knows the needs of people and who serves. Jesus is a king who longs to be one with all creation, every living creature living in the reign of Christ. Jesus is a suffering king, a servant king, a king who came to earth to be a vulnerable baby, to grow up, to die on the cross, and to rise again. So if Jesus is this kind of suffering servant king, if that's the king we mean when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is King, then what does that mean for us? Dr. Luke Timothy Johnson says, "When we declare that Jesus is our Lord, we recognize him as Lord of all, and we acknowledge his authority over our own hearts. As Lord, Jesus exercises absolute authority over our lives. We serve no created thing in preference to him. Jesus Christ informs all aspects of our lives. The teachings of Jesus inform what we believe, what we say, what we think, how we look at the world around us. The healings, feedings, and humble service of Jesus model for us how we are to live and what we are to do." We remember the words of Jesus when he said, "The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as we love ourselves." Reverend Canon Richard Burridge explains, "Those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord are compelled to extend his lordship into every area of our world and our life. Thus, we need to work for peace in the midst of the violence and conflicts of our world, for justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, and release for those under the heavy burden of debt. Because there were none that Jesus turned away or refused to heal or would not hear, then his followers too should be open, accepting, and welcoming all. And since Jesus is Lord of all the earth and not just human beings, Christians must also be concerned for the environment, for the natural world, and for the biodiversity of our fragile spaceship Earth." If Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are no longer isolated individuals. We are in community with Jesus, the Lord of the universe, and we are in community with all other people in creation spoken into existence by our Lord. Theologian Dr. Ada Maria Isasi-Diaz offers, when the fullness of God becomes a day-to-day reality in the world at large. We will all be sisters and brothers, siblings, kin to each other. We will indeed be the family of God. When we say the words of the Apostles' Creed, when we say the phrase, Jesus Christ is Lord, sometimes it's really easy for it to just roll off our tongue and to not really think about what we're saying. But if we stop and we think, we see that this phrase actually requires much from us. It requires us to give up our independence and our autonomy. It requires us to let go of being the ultimate authorities in our own lives. This phrase invites us to surrender our lives to the authority of Jesus. We allow Jesus, his wisdom, love, and grace to inform us, to transform our hearts, and to guide our actions. We find ourselves in relationships with other people, people we did not choose, because we see these people as our siblings in the family of God. We serve other people, not because we are seeking some great reward, but because our Lord Jesus served, and because our Lord Jesus is found in those whom we feed, give drink to, clothe, visit, and care for. If Jesus is your King, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, how will you live? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to live, help us to love as you love. Help us to reach out to others and serve humbly, without reward or expectation. Give us the courage and the faith to surrender our lives to you, to place our trust in you, to love who you love, to go where you call us, to serve as you serve. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.